This is the Quality News Network. President Bush today, as expected, vetoed the bill which would provide health insurance to more than 10 million children, up from the current 6.6 million. He said it moves the country's health care system, quote, in the wrong direction, end quote. It was the president's fourth veto while in office. Congress may pass legislation that closes a loophole which allows private security contractors in Iraq, such as Blackwater, to be immune to criminal prosecution. The private security forces protect State Department personnel in Iraq. The Polish ambassador to Iraq was wounded in an attack in central Baghdad today. His convoy was targeted by several bombs in what is being called an assassination attempt. Poland has about 1,000 troops in Iraq. According to a joint Six Nations statement, by the end of this year, North Korea has agreed to a deal to dismantle all of its nuclear facilities. In return, the communist government will receive 950,000 metric tons of fuel oil or economic aid. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will travel to the Middle East again next week ahead of the U.S.-hosted peace conference in November. She will go to Israel, the Palestinian Authority, and possibly other neighboring Arab countries. Former President Jimmy Carter was blocked from visiting a Darfur refugee camp by Sudanese forces. He got into a shouting match with them. Virginia Republican Senator John Warner is said to be doing well after a non-surgical procedure to regulate his heartbeat. The 80-year-old lawmaker will remain in the hospital overnight. He is expected to resume his Senate work next week. In Myanmar, a UN worker and three of her family members were taken in an early dawn government raid. It was part of the security crackdown against demonstrators. The Associated Press reports that next week the U.S. government will conduct the largest terrorism exercise so far. It will consist of three imaginary dirty bombs going off in two major U.S. cities and Guam. Investigators will try to determine how five workers were killed in a Georgetown, Colorado hydroelectric plant accident yesterday. They initially survived the chemical fire but died before rescuers could reach them 1,000 feet below ground. In La Jolla, California, a landslide this morning has buckled streets and sent at least one home down a hillside. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
A survey by the National Sleep Foundation finds that about 23% of American couples sleep apart because of a partner's snoring or other disruptions. A Canadian study finds 34% of couples sleep in separate beds. Government data shows that in August, nearly 30% of flights were delayed. There was also an increase in customer complaints about the airlines. Last week, President Bush said he would address the problem with the air carriers. A trade group reports that the U.S. service economy grew at a slower pace in September than in August. Microsoft has introduced three new models of its digital media player Zune, which is a rival to the Apple iPod. 100 million iPods have been sold since 2001. Microsoft has sold just over 1 million Zune models since last year. And former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan now says because of the credit crisis and problems with the subprime mortgage sector, he expects there will be a slowdown of U.S. economic growth. Gold is trading at $735.70 an ounce. Light sweet crude is currently trading at $79.94 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street today, stocks were down. The Dow Jones was down 79 points, NASDAQ down 18, and the S&P 500 was down 7. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
I'm This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. No progress reported. Following a meeting today between a United Nations envoy and the junta leader of Myanmar, neither side made a comment. The military government of Myanmar put the death toll from the protests at 10. Dissident groups say up to 200 people were killed. The head of Blackwater Security is rejecting charges that his staff was out of order when they opened fire in a crowd, killing 11 Iraqis. Blackwater is being investigated by the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Washington lawmakers are taking up legislation today requiring President Bush to show a concrete plan for withdrawal of troops from Iraq. A Washington Post ABC News poll shows only about 25% of Americans support the administration's $190 billion war funding request, while 70% want the proposed allocation reduced. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown is visiting Iraq for the first time. He's meeting with authorities to discuss a drawdown of Britain's 5,000 troops in Iraq's southern province of Basra, 1,000 of them by Christmas. For only the second time in 50 years, the leaders of South and North Korea met today for peace talks. At the top of their agenda, Pyongyang's dismantlement of its nuclear weaponry program. In Canada, a federal judge acquitted three doctors, a Red Cross official, and a U.S. drug maker of criminally infecting Canadians with AIDS and hepatitis C contaminated blood. More than 3,000 Canadians died of the tainted blood in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Well, when it comes to raising money for the presidential campaign, Senator Hillary Clinton leads the way this quarter. Clinton raised $22 million this summer. Senator Barack Obama isn't far behind with $19 million raised from July through September. In Minnesota, opening arguments begin today in the first trial of a consumer accused of copyright violation for illegally sharing songs on a file-sharing network. Madison Square Garden and its chairman were ordered to pay over $11 million to former New York Knicks executive Anuncha Brown Sanders. Sanders sued the company for sexual harassment by Knicks coach Isaiah Thomas. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news coming up next.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
According to a study at Emory University, 33% of American adults are obese, compared with 17% of their European counterparts. Americans also suffer more often from cancer, diabetes, and other chronic ailments. A hurricane team at Colorado State University increased its estimate of the number of tropical storms in the 2007 Atlantic hurricane season. Forecasters say this year will have 17 storms instead of 15. They predict there will be a total of 7 hurricanes. According to a report by the Associated Press, lab accidents involving deadly viruses, poisonous chemicals, and contaminated animals are on the rise. The number of laboratories approved to handle deadly substances has doubled in the last 3 years. Sales of Fords have dropped 21% in September, while Toyota and Chrysler posted smaller drops and GM held steady. Honda sales increased more than 9% and Nissan gained 7%. Home sales hit a record low in August, according to the National Association of Realtors. Many would-be home buyers are having difficulty getting loans, and economists say the housing market shows no signs of improving soon. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 40 points. The gold was trading down 1780 an ounce, and the NASDAQ was up 6 points. The S&P 500 was flat. There's more on our website, Quality News Network.
to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome, welcome, welcome to this Tuesday edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. At least I think I am. If you're there and I'm here, that means I'm me. Last I checked. Now, okay, let's... it is a terrible thing to have... whatever it is I should be diagnosed with. Word geekiness. Maybe it's a function of obsessive-compulsive disorder. But, you know, just for the record. Just for the record. And you guys can hate me for this if you want to. But God knows it drives my poor wife crazy. But I guess because I've been raised on language and spent my life concerned with the spoken word, the written word, but largely, a lot of the time, the spoken word, mispronunciations of the English language drive me batty. So I have to... I don't know. I think maybe it's a little bit like some form of Tourette's, because there are certain things that I hear and it's just like fingernails down a chalkboard or a metal garden implement being raked across concrete. And the word is realtor, not realtor, not relator, realtor, realtor, R-E-A-L-T-O-R, realtor. Okay? I'm not pointing at y'all, but I heard that in the newscast, and I love our friends over at Quality News Network. But that's one of those words. That's one of those words that just kicks in my sort of pronunciation Tourette's or whatever the hell it is. Realtor. Real estate. Realty. Realtor. Okay? Just like it's not often. A lot of times you'll hear people who are trying to be pretentious about their language, and they will say, often. I have often dined at yada, yada, yada. Often I have shopped at Saks Fifth Avenue, Bergdorf Goodman, whatever. Often. No. Look it up. Often. You don't pronounce the T. And it's not realtor. That would be R-E-L-A-T-O-R, realtor. No, it's...
Every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Come on, baby. Yeah, it's going to be live after all. You know me. Can't stand to be away from the microphone if I can possibly avoid it. And I am, doctor's appointment, 3:45. You know, you get out and you got to go fill the prescriptions and yada, yada, yada. And I got in the door at 10 after 6. Sorry, guys. This will just be a little bit weird and late, and the rerun will sound positively psychotic. But I'm here, and you're there, and that means that we've got 2 hours and 45 minutes together. And, of course, it's not just any old day. I mean, that's why I came roaring back, after all. You know what today is.
On this Every Other Wednesday Afternoon Discussion Club, we are going to have more to discuss on this Every Other Wednesday Afternoon than we ever had on any other Every Other Wednesday Afternoon.
Yeah, that's right. It's prayer meeting time. Put your hands upon your subwoofer and feel the healing energies a-flowing through you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jeebus. It is prayer meeting, and so we will have some fun with the right wing. There's some positively horrifying. I mean, you know, make the little hairs stand up on the back of your neck. Military news out. Thanks entirely to our friends over at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. They've found a really, really, really creepy, creepy, creepy military officer, one who has attempted at least to grind a free-thinking, non-superstitious member of the military, a non-com, a grunt, if you will, under his boot. A real, live, honest-to-God Armageddon type. We're talking about a guy named Major... Oh, I've got to find the email now. Dadgummit. Here it is, yeah. Army Major Freddie Wellborn. He's got a MySpace video. He's got a MySpace page. And if you go to look at Major Wellborn's MySpace page, under the About Me segment, and of course he's got this background of a cross in the sand with, I guess, some peat moss or Spanish moss hanging from one transit. No, that's probably Jesus' hair. I'm not sure. He's About Me, Major Freddie Wellborn, warrior for the Lord Jesus Christ. Currently serving with 3rd Inf Div Civil Military Operations Governance in Baghdad, Iraq. Carla and I place all our faith and trust in our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who provides eternal life to faith to anyone that believes that he is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, lived as God in the flesh as man, was crucified, died, and was buried, and then rose again from the grave the third day, then ascended to the right hand of the Father. True repentance, turning away from sin to God, being born again, forgiveness and justification occur to the true believer in Christ when baptized with God's Holy Spirit. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. It's a free gift and can't be earned. I love the Lord Jesus more than words can express, and seeking to gain a stronger relationship with Him on MySpace. Okay, I added the MySpace part. I'll finish Bible college upon returning from Operation Iraqi Freedom. My girl, Carla, 26 years, she is my best friend and the best thing next to Jesus that has ever happened to me. And it keeps getting better.
God blessed me with the perfect soulmate for life. We are from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and have settled on the Missouri River in the oldest city in Kansas. Why is it always Kansas? About 30 minutes from Kansas City. God. It goes on and on and on and on. And okay, so what? So what? So what? Who cares? It's his business. I don't care what he believes or doesn't believe. He can believe in walking zombies. I don't care. But he crossed the line. Army Major Freddie Wellborn. Now, Freddie Wellborn's awaiting for the rapture. His interest, the study of God's Word, evangelism, grandchildren and family, and those men called by God to preach the gospel. Doctrine is important, but not as important as a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus. He listens to Christian worship and praise music, gospel, and some easy 1970s. Hey, this is Easy 97.5 playing the easy 70s hits for religious fundamentalist insane maniacs in high positions of leadership in Iraq. Coming up, Dropkick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life, right here on Easy Christianity 97.5. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. Well, what's he done? Why am I talking about him? Well, Freddie Wellborn. This is coming from our friends over at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation and Mikey Weinstein. I didn't know if I was going to be on the air tonight, so as a consequence of that, I didn't set up a conversation with Mikey, so we'll just have to tell you the print version here. There's a young man named Army Specialist Jeremy Hall. He doesn't buy into a bunch of religious hocus-pocus. He doesn't buy into things that crackers that turn into meat in your little tum-tum after you eat it. He doesn't have a swig of Cabernet and become transported by a religious ecstasy that convinces him he has just consumed human blood. Or superhuman blood, or God-human blood, none of it. And so he set up a free thinkers meeting. He did all the right things through the military channels. He set it up through the chaplain according to the rules. And this free thinking, at the instigation of Major Freddie Wellborn, you must be born again, and that's an order, soldier. They tore his little posters down. And then it got even more interesting. After he set up his free thinkers meeting, and after that was suppressed, he filed a landmark lawsuit with and in conjunction with the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. He named Secretary of Defense Robert Gates as a defendant. And he made allegations about postings of messages on military and civilian blogs, like military.com, that apparently threatened Specialist Hall with fragging. You know what fragging is. That's the deliberate killing of a fellow soldier in a supposed friendly fire incident. You know, I don't know. Maybe the modern word for it is they threatened him with being Tillmaned. Now, he's written to Mikey Weinstein, Jeremy Hall has. He says, Mikey, I hope I'm not a victim of a hate crime while I sleep tonight. I don't want to die for my country this way. Soldiers are threatening to beat my ass and all sorts of things. I may be harmed or worse. I'm afraid for my safety. I can't sleep, man. I just laid on my bunk for 2 hours and I couldn't sleep. He's at Combat Operations Base Spiker in Iraq. And he is being tormented by his other fellow soldiers and by his higher-ups because he refuses to believe in invisible critters. He sees the real world around him. He's in Iraq, so it's hard to say that that world is rational or reasonable, but it is real. He sees the godless brutality that exists there on a daily basis that is not God-caused, but is in fact of entirely human manufacture. And refuses to buy into magic or voodoo or mumbo jumbo. So the MRFF, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, stepped in on his behalf. The lawsuit says, in part, immediately after plaintiff made it known he would decline to join hands and pray, he was confronted in the presence of other military personnel by the senior-ranking staff sergeant, who asked plaintiff why he did not want to pray, and whereupon plaintiff explained, because he's an atheist. The staff sergeant asked plaintiff what an atheist is, and plaintiff responded it meant that he did not believe in God. This response so infuriated the staff sergeant, he told plaintiff he would have to sit elsewhere for the Thanksgiving dinner. Jesus. Jeremy Hall has sent an urgent email message to Mikey Weinstein, telling Mikey that he is being goaded by his fellow soldiers with a variety of threats and slurs, threatening to beat his ass, calling him an atheist ass pirate, a faggot, and gathering a posse of bullies to intimidate him because of the allegation Hall made against the military in his lawsuit. Now, here's a little bit more. Why did we start out with Major Freddie Wellborn? Well, during the course of the meeting... Back up. His lawsuit alleges that on August the 7th, when he received permission from an Army chaplain to organize a meeting of other soldiers who shared his atheist viewpoint, his supervisor, Army Major Freddie Wellborn, broke up the gathering and threatened to retaliate against the soldier by charging him with violating the Uniform Code of Military Justice. The complaint also alleges that Wellborn vowed to block Hall's reenlistment in the Army if the atheist group continued to meet. Wellborn is named personally as a defendant in the lawsuit. This is a quote from the suit papers. During the course of the meeting, Defendant Wellborn confronted the attendees, disrupted the meeting, and interfered with Plaintiff Hall's and the other attendees' rights to discuss topics of their interests. He has been forced, Hall has, to submit to a religious test as a qualification to his post as a soldier in the United States Army, violating Article 6, Clause 3. Of the Constitution of the United States of America. Freddie Wellborn, Major Freddie, I don't know, Major Freddie Wellborn again, has a personal photo ID card. And the picture on that shows Major Freddie Wellborn kneeling with his hands together in prayer, while at his hip level, his 9mm shoulder holster is prominently displayed. The card also includes a crucifix and a verse from Psalm 18, which states, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer." On the MySpace page, and this is important, Major Freddie Wellborn, myspace.com/Freddie Wellborn is where you can find it, he appears in uniform, doing all this evangelical crap. That is a violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, pure and simple. There's a rapture video on it that makes it clear that not even all so-called Christians will be raptured. The video opens with a reading from Genesis. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth," yada, 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 yada. And then the caption, 6,000 years later, shows up, followed by a montage of footage of the 9/11 attacks, war scenes, and natural disasters. So not only is this guy a fundamentalist creep freak, he's also one of those people who believes that the recipe for beer is older than humanity itself. Because, you see, the recipe for beer is more than 6,000 years old. The recipe for bread is more than 6,000 years old. We know this because we found the bread. And the beer, and it's more than 6,000 years old. As is the writing of the recipe, more than... But... The rapture scene... Oh, God, you got to see this for yourself. But not right now. Stick with the show. There's a rapture scene in his stupid little video on his illegal MySpace webpage that shows a worship service packed with people. Then there's a noise that sounds like thunder, and about 90% of the worshipers are just poof, they're gone. The left behind stumble around looking dazed, with a young man on the foreground sinking to his knees, sobbing. You can go over to the Military Religious Freedom Foundation website, learn about this yourself. militaryreligiousfreedom.org. And you can go look at Major Wellborn's MySpace page and be horrified. These are the people who think that they're going to fix the Middle East. Oh, by the way, among his friends, Jesus is not his only dead friend. Ronald W. Reagan, 40th president, is his friend. On his Who I'd Like to Meet, this is fun. Who I'd Like to Meet, Ronald Reagan, MLK Jr., Abe Lincoln, Robert E. Lee, and General Jackson, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. You know who D.L. Moody is, of course. I mean, after all, this is prayer meeting, right? So that's where we begin. God knows, God knows, God knows there are other places to go this evening. Other things to talk about. There is an update on the woman who they have not yet decided whether or not she killed herself, committed suicide over a shot trying to escape. The pathetic woman who died in custody at the Phoenix International Airport. And it's sad. It's just sad. By the way, it's the third day of October, in case you weren't looking. And it's starting already. I know, you're not ready for this, and neither am I. Headline from the American Family Association. Wait for it. Oak Lawn, Illinois bans... I'm sorry, you got to say it redneck style. Oak Lawn, Illinois bans Christmas from schools. You heard it right. The war on Christmas. The war on the war on Christmas. The war on the people who think... I don't know. This is so confusing. Dear Bob, it's hard to believe this kind of religious intolerance can happen in America in 2007. The city of Oak Lawn, Illinois has banned any recognition of Christmas in their schools. The ban came after a Muslim woman complained. See, it's them damn Muslims. I don't know what you think about that, but I am more than a little annoyed by those who want to replace Christmas with a secular holiday. It's time Christians take a stand and proclaim to our communities that Christmas is not just a winter holiday focused on materialism, but a holy day when we celebrate the birth of our Savior. And hopefully get significant bargains on the day after Thanksgiving. And, of course, at the bottom of all of these American Family Association action alerts, there's always a polite request that you pretty please pony up your bucks so that they can continue their shtick and their hustle. It's October the 3rd, 2007, and Lord God, I am weary, because yea, verily, we're already going to have to start putting up with the war on Christmas crap. There's no war on Christmas. It's all BS. But, you know, what the hell? They never let up. They don't have off years. They don't take days off. It's part of the reason I came roaring in here like I did. The other side doesn't take a day off. The other side is constantly on the attack. The other side knows what their goals are, and they will stop at nothing to achieve them. So me coming in about 5-10 minutes late from the doctor's office, that doesn't wash it. That's not an excuse to knock off for 3 hours and do a rerun. No, ma'am. Mm-mm. No, huh? Can't do it. We got to be here. You got to be here. All of us have to be here. We have to stand firm. We have to stand together, or this country is well and truly and forever screwed. Hell, it may be too late already. Let's see who's on the phone. Hi, who have I got?
You got me, boy. You got me.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm wondering, how are you doing?
I'm getting along.
Yeah, well, we're all getting along. We're just trying to, you know, try to work the kinks out, aren't we?
Well, you know, I've gotten to the point where I feel like it's either climb or die.
Yeah, well, we got to climb. We got to climb. We got to get up on top and, you know, hey, we're not the kind that get up on top and kick down. We're the kind that put the ladder down and let the others climb up after us. So let us do that. Let us climb to the top and put the ladder down to bring up those behind us, those folks, those poor folks, yeah? Those poor black folks, those poor, you know, Iranian folks, those poor folks that haven't had a chance, Bob. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he did it right, okay? Let's find us one. You know, I think about Dennis Kucinich, and I think, yeah, he has the stuff of Franklin D. R. Yeah?
Yeah.
He does have that stuff, and that's why they denigrate him so badly. They drive him down, and they don't allow him to speak, because he has that kind of soul, that kind of, oh, that's right, this is every other Wednesday night, and this is prayer meeting night. Well, let's
come on down to the altar, Brother Bob.
Well, I'm going to give you some praying. Let's pray that the people that are, you know, tuned into this network are listening, you know, listening with not only their mind, but with their heart and with their gut. Because, Bob, we're getting right down to the gut-wrenching part where you got to get out there and do something. You got to do something. Doesn't matter.
Well, that's why I mean, that's a little slogan I'm just kind of living by these days. Climb or die, climb or die, climb or die.
Yeah, climb or die. Yeah, that's a good one. You know, hey, you know, you got to do something. Don't just sit on your doggone couch or wait until somebody tells you what to do. Do something. Do anything. I don't care what it is. If you got to get out there and, you know, stand on a street corner and flip off the local fuzz, just tell them it's enough. We're tired of your Nazi, and I mean Nazi ways, because that's what they're doing.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, you're kind of our military affairs expert from time to time, Bob.
No, I'm not.
No, wait. Stop. Have you ever run across the likes of this Major Wellborn guy? You know, these absolute, I mean, Did you ever deal with high brass that was just all Jesused up and insisted that everybody else be as Jesused up as they were?
I'm sad to tell you this, but I've met lieutenants. I mean, just right out of the doggone academy, what do you call them, brown bars, you know, second lieutenants, they're like, you know, right out of the academy, they got their brown bar. They're not even lieutenants, they're a second lieutenant. They're kind of like a PFC. They're like a private, you know, they're like something that just crawled out of the John. And they got that power grab thing on. They got this look in their eye like, I am somebody, you know. And they got that Jesus, you know, mantle wrapped over their heads. And they're talking, well, you know, we're doing this for God. And God, Bob, I'm sorry. I know that this is prayer meeting night, but if you have been there, right down in the trenches, right down there in the blood and guts of it, you got to ask yourself a question. I mean, there are many people that have been there that ask the same question. Is there a God? And how could a God allow this stuff to go on? And it isn't God. Man created God in man's own image. Man.
Well, Bob, I mean, this guy appears on his website, this Major Wellborn.
Yeah.
Appears on his website in, you know, in uniform.
Oh, of course.
And advocates all this religious mumbo jumbo. He is violating the Uniform Code of Military Justice, isn't he?
Absolutely. He's
tap dancing on it, isn't he?
Oops. Huh?
I said he's tap dancing on it, isn't he?
Yes, he's not only doing that, he's doing the same thing that G.W. Bush or George W. Bush does with the Constitution of the United States. He's wiping his behind with the Uniform Code of Military Justice. He's just wiping his butt with it, and he doesn't care. He doesn't, because he's got G.W. Bush. You know, he's got Rush Limbaugh. Is it Limbaugh or Limbaugh? I'm sorry. My bad. I probably...
That's okay. That's a slam dunk.
Yeah, but it is that. These people, Bob, they are not true Americans. They have no concept of the Founding Fathers. They have no concept of the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. They have no concept of America. And that's the problem. I have met them. I've met them at the VA hospital. I've met them sitting there telling me that they're getting their sons and daughters ready to go and fight this glorious battle for this degenerate, this thing that squats in the White House, the house of the people. And I'm sick of it, Bob. I'm sick of listening to it. I'm sick of going on in these chat rooms and chatting with people that are telling me the same thing, you know, like, oh yeah, they're liberal. They have no idea of what liberality is. Liberality is not, I don't believe everything Bob Kincaid says or everything that I hear on the on this computer or anywhere else. I have to question it first and then ask myself, do I believe what I'm hearing? And that's the problem with America. They just listen and then, oh, they believe. And that's why we're right here in prayer meeting night. Because if a preacher says it so, like our wonderful and most marvelous writer did back there when we stopped being America. When Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, went to the Philippines and saw what we did to those people during that filthy war. Our first step into the American imperialism. And when he wrote the war prayer, he told it like it was.
Indeed. And we need to, I need to read the war prayer again soon on the air. Thanks for reminding me.
Well, to Agnes and to your children, love, hope, and just strength, and stand, my son, stand. Just stand and just be strong, because I know you are. This network will get stronger and your voice will be heard, even though it seems like you're not there and you want to be there.
No, oh, we're there. I know we're there. It's just it's getting to be more there. We got to get bigger. Climb or die, Bob. Climb or die.
Climb. Just climb and just climb to the top and just put the ladder down. Let some of the other ones, like I don't know, you know, whoever's coming up behind you, like John Fox and them, and Cup of Joe. Oh, give Joe a big old boot in the butt for me and get him up the ladder.
Can do. Can
anyway.
Do. Bob, good hearing from you, my friend.
Good talking to you.
All right.
Take care and peace, love, and strength.
Thanks a lot, Bob. You take care.
You
our best to Glenn.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Our good friend Bob in North Dakota. I am genuinely grateful and genuinely inspired by the good work that the Military Religious Freedom Foundation and Mikey Weinstein do. Because please bear in mind, Mikey Weinstein is no raging liberal. I mean, this guy was a lawyer for Ronald Reagan, okay? But he has seen what is going on. He has seen the It's prayer meeting, and I can't say evangelization of the military. And he's one of the few people that are willing to stand up and fight it. Go read the story of Wellborn. Go look at his MySpace page, myspace.com/Freddy, F-R-E-D-D-Y, Wellborn, just like it sounds, W-E-L-L-B-O-R-N. You call me and you tell me. Does it just make your skin crawl? It sure does mine. All right, back to the phones. Hey, who we got?
It's Kevin from Washington.
Hey, Kevin, welcome back, my friend.
How you doing? You know, I wanted to continue on. Last night you said to take up the conversation, but
yeah.
The reality is, about the war,
mm-hmm.
The reality is that the Democratic Senate hands are tied, because especially in these... The senators from, like, the states that can go any way, like Virginia, Florida, Arizona, there's such a huge military-industrial complex that senator is unduly influenced, because all an executive has to do from Raytheon or any of these companies say, you know what, if you don't go our way with this, we'll just pull out of your state and we'll go elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm conversant with some of that, and it's sad, but it is true.
You know, it's not that they don't want to. I'm pretty sure almost every Democratic senator and a lot of Republicans too want to pull out of this war. But I think the military-industrial complex is so entrenched in our economy now that they're afraid to. And it all boils down to, you know, the American people who... And what is it you are willing to sacrifice to end this war? That's the big question. What is it? Are you willing to lose your steady flow of income? Because I know in Central Florida, where there's a huge amount of people employed by the military-industrial complex, the answer is probably no. Because it all boils down to most of the somewhat...
Hey, look, if you're a working Joe or Jane... And you work in one of these factories that makes Humvees or Stryker vehicles or whatever, the war is being very, very good to you.
Exactly. You know, in Florida, very few people make over $70,000 a year working for somebody else.
Yeah.
And the only jobs that are, the only places that are giving those kind of jobs are the military contracting jobs. Disney isn't doing it. Walmart isn't doing it.
No.
So, you know, it it's like, to me, the Democrats who work for these places, and I know a few because I have a few neighbors that do. It's like, I ask that question, well, are you willing to sacrifice your job so that another so these soldiers can start coming home? And a lot of them, it comes like the big question mark in their head.
So where do, you know, are we just screwed, Kevin?
I say royally. We are royally screwed because unless the people are willing to sacrifice to make a sacrifice, and that's the problem with America in general, the American mentality. They want to have their cake and eat it too. Like, prime example, in Washington and New York, they're talking about raising the fares to the public transportation system. And years ago, I might have complained, but now I don't complain anymore because I would rather pay $5 each way to get to and from where I got to go than put another dollar in my gas tank to make Bush and his minions richer than they already are.
Well, I guess my theme for the night, Kevin, is climb or die, climb or die, climb or die.
Exactly. It's like, it's all about what are you willing to sacrifice to end this madness?
Well, we're not willing to. What's America sacrificing?
Hell, we're not even giving up NASCAR, so the answer is nothing.
No, the only sacrifices are being made by the families of the fallen, the families of the maimed, the families of the people, the soldiers with traumatic brain injury, the families of the dead soldiers who come home in the still of the night and land without ceremony, land without without any sort of notice by the people of the United States at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware, who are transported in cardboard boxes and bodies are offloaded with forklifts. Those are the people who are sacrificing. And, you know, frankly, it's a tiny little fraction of the American body
exactly.
politic.
I think, considering what this war is all about, NASCAR, out of respect, should be suspended. Too many people are losing their arms and legs and lives over gas.
Yeah, and Indy racing and drag racing. Yeah, sure. But again, the American people were fully invested in the Second World War.
Oh yeah.
And you can bet there was no racing. There was very little of anything.
There wasn't even professional baseball or anything like that. Because
well,
most of them were fighting in the war.
Well,
now
the
participating
baseball did continue.
Did?
Yeah,
oh.
and the NFL did too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but still, it was
but a lot of ball players fought in the war. I think.
Oh, sure they did.
DiMaggio and Ted Williams.
Sure they did. Absolutely.
They probably didn't see combat, but
Ted Williams darn sure did.
He
was an ace.
Oh. A lot of film stars, a lot of millionaire sons went into the war and fought. Kennedy.
Well, again, the entire nation was invested in the war. George H.W. Bush was one of the youngest pilot students in military history at that time because he had to go into the military early to assuage the humiliation of the Bush family when Prescott got caught busted.
Doing business with the enemy.
He was busted under the Trading with the Enemy Act in 1943, and George H.W. Bush had to go in early to sort of offset that.
Oh yeah, people forget about that. I don't know how legit his crash was and him swimming. You know, this family's so dirty. It's not funny.
Oh, they're filthy. They're filthy. Most of the time, George H.W. Bush wasn't trusted with munitions. He was sent on recon jobs with cameras instead of bombs, and I think he had other crashes or near misses or that kind of yeah. No, he wasn't really good at what he did.
Yeah, you know, because there has been some controversy over whether or not he was truly a war hero.
Well, you know, I read he had a nickname, Bailout Bush.
Oh.
Because of course, he bailed out of his aircraft and left the rest of his crew because the TBF Avenger, I believe, had a crew of four. a pilot, a navigator, a radioman, and a gunner. And
so the cowardice runs in the family.
Oh, the yellow stripe down the bush back is wider than the yellow stripe in the middle of a two-lane highway.
Oh, man. You know, I have a next-door neighbor who fought in the Battle of the Bulge, and he's looking at the past 6 years, and he's like, why did he even... He should have... You know, move to South America or something. He said,
well, see,
you know,
that's my dad is gone now, Kevin. But that's one of the things toward the end of his life, and it was heartbreaking to hear. He would look at the Bush administration and say, "Why did we bother? Why did my brother die? Why did I serve? Why did my brothers serve? Why did my
reality? Fascism has won. It's just been made palatable for mid-America."
Sure.
And become all-inclusive.
It's the truth of, I forget who said it, Upton Sinclair, Sinclair Lewis, Henry Wallace, I don't know, I don't remember. But it was said, when fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it has been made, you know, all-accepting to mainstream America. It really has, you know. Because, like the British a century ago, Americans... want to step in the brown stuff, I don't want to say the four-letter word, and come out smelling like a rose.
Well, empire is hard and bloody work.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, when are they going to learn that it's not about empires, it's more about global community? Right. Empires are doomed to fail.
Sure they are. I mean, there hasn't been one that has lasted at all.
Well, the Romans lasted.
No, I mean, it fell. They all fall. All empires fall.
Eventually, they all do. And even commercial empires like GE and all that, that's going to fall eventually, too.
Sure. Sure.
It's going to fall, too. You know, it's like, and it's so, you know, for lack of a better term, asinine, because it's just that the reality is, there's more profit in turning guns into plowshares. Bottom line, there's just more profit in it.
No, there's more profit in turning plowshares into guns.
Well, no, but if we were to really be serious, think about it. Okay, there's 6 billion people on the planet. If we were to all of a sudden do a demand-side economy for all 6 billion men, women, and children on this planet.
Yeah, then the plowshares become more profitable.
Yes. And you know, it's just a matter of adjusting, you know, I guess the Illuminati or whoever is in charge of this mess, and having them realize, you know what, it's more profit in plowshares. You know, the poor Indian woman who's living in the ghettos of Calcutta, you know what? Prop her up and make her be able to buy a flat-screen TV also. Trust me, there'll be more money in that than ever. Look at the Japanese.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
You know, when I was out there, almost every Japanese woman had a Louis Vuitton bag.
Yeah.
It's like a standard issue.
And,
you
know, and those
get
don't,
a Louis Vuitton bag.
And those don't come cheap, whether it's
in
dollars, yen, or euros.
Yeah, and a Burberry's raincoat. You know, those don't come. You know, the Japanese, and these aren't, you know, this isn't the middle class. This is like the everyday working Joe who's sweeping. I saw a woman sweeping the sidewalk. You know, she's a street sweeper. And, you know, she had her Louis Vuitton backpack. And I don't know if it's a knockoff or whatever, because I can't really tell.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, judging from, like, if you ever go to these high-end premium outlets.
Yeah.
You ever been to one of those?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like you'll find busloads of Japanese tourists going in there. They're the ones who are keeping those things afloat, not us. Japanese and Saudis. It's going to be the Chinese.
Oh, and I got a Saudi story for prayer meeting, too. That reminds me. Kevin, good to talk to you. We got
to
hit the news.
Good to talk to you, brother.
All right, you take care now.
Care.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. We're going to do the news. Then we'll come back with your phone calls. You know the phone number, of course. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Or on your nickel, 304-658-5453. Jump right in. The conversation's fine. This is the conversation radio that you have built. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush today, as expected, vetoed a bill which would provide health insurance to more than 10 million children, up from the current 6.6 million. He said it moves the country's health care system, quote, in the wrong direction, end quote. Congress may pass legislation that closes a loophole that allows private security contractors in Iraq immunity from criminal prosecution. The private security forces, such as Blackwater, protect State Department personnel in Iraq. Bombs targeted the convoy of the Polish ambassador to Iraq today, wounding him. The attack took place in central Baghdad and is being called an assassination attempt. Poland has about 1,000 troops in Iraq. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will travel to the Middle East again next week, ahead of the U.S.-hosted peace conference in November. She will go to Israel, the Palestinian Authority, and possibly other neighboring Arab countries. Sudanese forces blocked former President Jimmy Carter from visiting a Darfur refugee camp. He got into a shouting match with troops and insisted, quote, "You don't have the power to stop me," end quote. According to a joint six-nation statement, North Korea has agreed to dismantle all of its nuclear facilities by the end of this year. In return, the communist government will receive 950,000 metric tons of fuel oil or economic aid. In Myanmar, a UN worker and three of her family members were taken in an early dawn government raid. It's part of the security crackdown against a massive pro-democracy movement in the country. The Associated Press reports that next week the U.S. government will conduct the largest terrorism exercise in its history. It will consist of three imaginary dirty bombs going off in two major U.S. cities and Guam. Investigators will try to determine how five workers were killed in a Georgetown, Colorado hydroelectric plant accident yesterday. They initially survived a chemical fire, but died before rescuers could reach them 1,000 feet below ground. In La Jolla, California, a sinkhole this morning buckled a four-lane road and sent at least one home down a hill. City officials sent warning letters to residents yesterday, saying that the hillside was unstable. In South Africa, Harmony Gold says 3,200 of its miners are trapped underground. A spokesperson for the company says an electrical cable on an elevator broke. You're listening to Quality News Network.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
The U.S. and Russia will team up to look for water on both the Moon and Mars. The two nations, once fierce rivals in the space race today, agreed that Russian technology will be used on planned NASA missions. Scientists in Utah have discovered a new species of duck-billed dinosaur that's described as the Arnold Schwarzenegger of dinosaurs, all pumped up. The 30-foot-long
hook-beaked lizard had some 800 teeth. The finding of the 75-million-year-old animal was reported in the Zoological Journal of the Linnean Society. A survey of the National Sleep Foundation finds that about 23% of American couples sleep apart because of their partner snoring or other disruptions. A Canadian study finds that 34% of couples sleep in separate beds. Government data shows that in August, nearly 30% of flights were delayed. There were also an increase in customer complaints about the airlines. A trade group reports that the U.S. service economy grew at a slower pace in September than in August. Right now, gold's trading at $735.70 an ounce. That's down 60 cents. Light sweet crude oil's trading at $79.94 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 80 points at 13,967. The NASDAQ was also down 18 points and the S&P down 7. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, this time we'll do a whole hour. Is that okay? Cool. Okay, there's our problem. I don't know why, but Agnes had my microphone gained back. Okay, then. 7.5 minutes after the hour, this is much better. I felt like I had to scream or something earlier, so I apologize if the audio was squirrely. Listen, you guys in the chat room, this is your job. I got no way of knowing what's going out and what you're hearing. I got to have a little help here, for heaven's sakes. You gotta tell me these things. But anyway, the phone number, you know, 877-443-2366. That's real easy. And our good friend Luke, from whom we have not heard in quite some time, has availed himself of the phone number. Hey, Luke, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm fine, Mr. Kincaid. How are you?
Oh, Lordy. You know, just another day in the economic miracle that is Bushmerica.
Oh, I tell you, the fun part I'm having right now is I've got the sound down, and I'm sitting here watching Tweety Bird. And he's sitting here, had to run the poll where Hillary's ahead, and you can just see almost the veins in his neck, you know.
Oh, I know. It gets him all titillated.
It's one of the things. Like I said, if the man wasn't a newsman, we could get him arrested for stalking without trying really hard. And it's like, I'm still surprised that somebody hadn't with this. Some of the sexual harassment.
Well, we could get him. We could get him arrested.
Something against him.
We could get him arrested for stalking, or we could get him a job as a fluffer. Either one, you know.
Now, this, ooh. But, no, I was just amazed watching the all this coverage this week of the OxyContin kid. And it's amazed me whenever I've switched over just to sample, see what's going on over on the Noise Channel, that amazingly enough, apparently no one's playing the tape. You know, whenever they're there talking about it, but apparently no one will play it. It's like last week with O'Reilly. You know, it's like, you know, he says... Says people, you know, take it out of context, but he won't play the tape.
Well, you know, I talked with a right winger last night who explained to me very patiently that Bill O'Reilly was doing God's work by making his weird, xenophobic, bigoted 60, 70, and 80 year old demographic not so afraid of the scary black people, and that it was mainstream America's fault for taking umbrage at his condescending comments. So,
I'm
you know.
Sorry, but to me, subtle racism is worse than open racism. At least open racism, you can go back and forth with somebody about it. With something like that, it's like, well, Mr. O'Reilly, if you went to an Italian restaurant, would you be surprised that a gunfight didn't break out between men in pinstripe suits? You know, if you went to a Chinese restaurant, are you waiting for a couple of Jackie Chan fights?
I know. Well, look, the same thing with Rush. You know, beyond the phony soldiers comment, what I think is far more stunning, and I mentioned this a couple of nights ago, is the fact that the guy got caught editing his own content.
He cut off like a minute and 45 off the front of the tape.
Yeah.
And the thing is, no one's bringing it up, you know, in the, as I call them, the lamestream media. It's like, isn't it amazing, though, how he can alter tapes and run them, and all of a sudden, everybody's saying, "Oh, we took him out of context."
Well, but, you know, I get, you know,
it matters. Don't take you out of context.
Him being a Republican and all, I guess it's just a little miracle that he didn't have a 17-minute gap.
This too. 2 is true.
Sorry, that was just too easy. Yeah, too easy.
But, you know, it's just some of that. And I'm just wondering if they're going to get up on their hind legs and do something with this S-chip bill now. If they can shame them. It's like I say, I'd be running the tape whenever they have the arguments down in the pit this time, because I want to see them argue against giving money, giving $35 billion to children, when, oh, by the way, we're asking for $180 billion to send over to Iraq. And that's going to fund the S-chip thing for like 2 or 3 years, I think.
Five, I believe.
Okay. But, I mean, they're just going to fund that for 5 years, and then apparently every other quarter we're going to pull up, you know, W's money man goes up there and says, I need another $90 billion. It's like, well, so do we.
Yeah, make
it enough. We got something to spend it on.
Make it 100 and deliver it in one of those semi truckloads in the shrink wrap plastic, would you, George? I could. You know, look, I'm not a greedy man. I'll take 10.
It's one of those things. But like I say, this is one where, like the on the fight about the timetables and everything. You know, when the Republicans people are saying, well, the Republicans are going to fight it now, and they'll go. You know, once they get past the primaries, they'll be in favor of it. You know, they'll turn around. It's like, run the tape right now. I want tape on all these people saying they're against it. So in 6 months, when they say I'm for it now, and they said, how many kids had to die so you could find your spine? You know.
I know, but where Rush gets a pass, okay? You know, and
drug dealer, yes, he does.
And did you see the apology yesterday?
No, which one?
Rush's.
Oh. One of his left-handed apologies? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, where he apologized on behalf of Harry Reid. Because, you know, I guess Harry Reid's the one who said phony soldiers. But, no, but they get a pass. What's the little string of letters? I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican.
Oh. Well, you know, it's amazing to me. The other day, I saw that on the Today Show, we saw they had Coltergeist on. And I'm sitting there going, how much money are they paying you all to let her on? I mean, dear God, I mean, when's the last time you had Mike Malloy on for a morning, guys? You know, I mean, you know, get somebody in there, you know, it's like, I'm always amazed when I hear people say, well, you know, CNN or somebody says, well, the liberal media. And I'm sitting there going, tell me who. I want somebody to name me a person at CNN that gets an hour that's a liberal. Tell me. You know, when you get the 2 hours a night of Glenn, I once had a haircut Beck, you know, and who apparently has ratings that are 0.00 just about. But yet CNN keeps him on. In fact, CNN, you notice, of course, that their media critic will not mention Mr. Beck's name.
No. There's a rule about that there.
And you know, it's just amazing. I'm sitting watching some of that stuff, and you're just kind of going, you know. Please tell me the liberal on mainstream TV that gets an hour on a news show. You know, I mean, find me one. I mean, you know, it's just that thing when, like I say, every once in a while, you just like say, want to go get the. You know, go to the door frame, just start beating the head till you start hearing a squishy sound. You know, because that's all you're doing, just beating your head on the wall any which way sometimes. But, you know, but like I say, this thing with the S-chip, even if we lose, they got to push this to the end. I mean, you know, it's yes or no. I'm sorry if that's what it has to be. But that's what they ought to do, is push it. And it's like if somebody starts saying, well, we got to make a compromise, no. We're pushing this through. If this goes through, Mr. Bush can put something else up. Ain't no playing games with this.
I want to make them eat it.
Yeah.
I absolutely want to make them just hunker down and eat it. But, of course, you know, the White House lives in this psychotic place, Luke. Did you see, read, hear, see?
Which one? They have so many things going on.
Oh, Dana. But Dana Perineal's comments.
Oh.
And I mean, I'm a smoker. Okay, I may light one up in a minute. But she said that the S-chip bill was wrong and needed vetoing because it's funded by a cigarette tax, and that most smokers are low-income people, and that therefore. This S-chip would be funded by the poor, and that taxing the poor was something that George Bush couldn't countenance.
Well, I'm sorry, Dana, that you all are so afraid that Laura's going to have to pay a little bit more money. But, you know, it's one of these things. It's like between her and old Leatherskin over in the Senate, you know, the boner.
Yeah, in the House.
Oh, in the House, I'm sorry. But you know what I mean? It's like, before I forget, I saw something tonight on the news. I saw that Mr. Domenici has decided he's not running for re-election in New Mexico.
Oh, really? Good.
It's amazing to see all the ones up above on the older, I guess you'd say, senators who see the paint on the wall and they're going, this is going to be a killing, and we don't want to be on.
Yeah, it's going to be a rat
near somebody with a target.
Well, you'd like to hope it's going to be a rat killing. I mean, you know, just a real, you know, scatter shot, run them out of town. But the thing is that's so depressing, I guess, that makes it sort of hard to stomach, Luke, is that while we tend to be wrapped up in the horse race quality and the us versus them nature of it all, we created slimly, but we created through a lot of hard work by a lot of progressives and a lot of liberals and a lot of forward-thinking people, we created majorities in the House and the Senate both.
Mm-hmm.
And they damned well refused to do anything with it. So, you know, so what if we give them a 60 what if we give the Democrats 62 senators? What if we give 490 seats to the Democrats in the House? When do we get to come home? When do we get the war over? When do
every once in a while you hear them say, well, they're keeping their powder dry. I said, water's up above our heads, folks. We ain't breathing.
Well, you know, screw the dry powder when the shorts are wet.
I know. That's what I mean. We're treading water, folks, here. We need to start using that now.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, we've needed you to use it for a while.
Well, you know, powder. That's the other problem. You know, they keep saying they're keeping their powder dry. Yeah, how are we supposed to know that they were talking about face powder and not gunpowder? Baby powder, for God's sakes. I mean,
I know. But, you know, it's one of those things when you sit here sometimes and you watch some of this stuff and you're just kind of going, you know, guys, the polls are coming out. I mean, it's uniform. 70% of the people say stop it. And it's like, gang, that's good numbers. We can go with that. It's not 51. It's not 55. It's 70. You know what I mean?
And the other side of it is the low congressional approval rating. And they seem to think that their numbers, Luke, will go down more if they start doing the people's business. It's Republicans that are dragging down the congressional numbers.
Oh, yeah. What have you noticed, though, on that? Have you noticed the way that if you go to CNN or someplace and want to have one of these votes, Democrats fail to overcome the Republicans. It's not the Republicans blocking it. It's the Democrats are failing.
Yes.
When, of course, 3 or 4 years ago, it was Democrats are blocking any good legislation.
Obstructionist Democrats.
You know, it's one of those things. It's like some of these things. I'm sitting here wondering on all this stuff here now with covering the horse race. You know, it's amazing. Have you heard anything lately about any of the Republicans? I mean, you know, here and there, a little story. But, I mean, it's like, you know, isn't it amazing? I saw something today, and I believe it was the Washington Post politics talk. Somebody went through and listed all the different scandals going on right now between the people in finance for John McCain, Romney, and Giuliani. And all three of them have people in their finance department, raising their money that are under indictment. But, of course, we can't talk about that.
No.
Unless, of course, it's some...
Nothing to see here. Move along. Keep going. Nothing to see.
These aren't the droids you want. Please move along. Oh, can I mention one little quick thing off topic?
Oh, please, go ahead.
You and me, we're both videoholics. Have you noticed almost every show this year is just a repeat of something they've done before?
How so?
Well, let's see. We got the Bionic Woman, which to me is apparently Alias meets Dark Angel. I see we have a new vampire detective show. About the seventh or eighth one now in the last 10 years or so?
Well, you know, you can never have enough vampire detectives.
But you know what I mean? Most every show, I sat one day to sit and looked at the listing and went down through them. Like, almost every show they've got, I can go back 3 or 4 years and find you the show that this came from. You know?
Yeah. I hadn't noticed that, but you make a strong case.
So I just went down the list, and I'm sitting there going, I only found like one or two shows to me that were kind of new and different. It's like, guys, somebody down there, turn the brains on, please. you all wonder why your percentages go down. I'm
well, it's
right
you know, it's much easier to recycle stuff than it is to do new.
Well, it's like I said, a friend of mine said the thing right now is I'm upset because most of my shows are ending the cycle because I've been watching the good stuff on cable. You know, I've been watching The Closer and Saving Grace and
mm-hmm.
Eureka and, you know, all these things. Their seasons are ending. Then we get, like I say, now we're getting the network dribble.
Yeah, brother. Well, it's gotten hard to watch. I just about don't do it anymore.
Well,
with the exception of watching my beloved Mountaineers flush their national championship hopes down the toilet last Friday night.
Oh, please don't talk to me about that.
Yeah, I know. Tough year on Rocky Top.
Well, at least the only good thing was that the Rockies won today.
Yeah.
So we're still watching Todd.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
But it's like, guys, why are we doing this at 3 in the afternoon? Can't we have one of the 7 o'clock games?
I know. Hey, Luke, have yourself a good night. It's good to hear from you, brother. It's been too long.
All right. See you later.
Take care now.
Bye.
Bye. And onward, let's see. We've got there on line one. Hey, who have I got?
Hey, Bob. You got Joe Vecchio.
Hey, Joe Vecchio. What are you doing, brother?
Very good. I just got back not too long ago from the job search, so I thought I'd call you up. Yeah, you know, he's right. There's really nothing good on TV. And although I got to admit, we can't get enough vampire stories.
Vampire detectives and, you know, the Bionic Woman is a redo of two, and yet it's a redo of itself. The Bionic Woman, Lindsay, oh, God, the Bionic, you know, if, I don't know, maybe Lindsay Wagner will do a guest shot on it, and, you know, the Bionic Granny.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, they brought back Margot Kidder and Christopher Reeve for Smallville, so.
True.
Until Margot went a little, this was after she went a little nuts, and of course before Mr. Reeve passed away, sadly. So, but you know that's the way, and I think it's been that way ever since that writer's strike. That's when they started doing all those reality shows, because you didn't really require writers, and now you've got nothing but reality shows, it seems. And I hate those things; they're awful. So, but I did have something I wanted to talk to you about because I picked a fight with somebody today.
I saw that you did. Did anybody ever tell you the line, Joe, about you'll catch more flies with honey than with sugar, with vinegar?
How do you know that I picked a fight with a particular person if it was strictly through email?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming that's what the email was about.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I did send you a copy, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And I did send you a copy of it. Yeah, but I got very upset, and I'll bring this out. I got
Did you get a response? I mean, we'll do the backstory in a second. But did you get a response?
Yes, I did get a response, and basically it was the kind of response that I expected. You know, but for those, let's get into the backstory here. So
yeah.
Those who are listening know what's talking.
Yeah, let's not make this inside baseball.
Right. And the thing about it is, and I want to make the point that Glenn Greenwald, I highly respect everything he does. He's a great writer, one of the best we have in the blogosphere. I'm a regular reader of his column on Salon. But recently he had a thing about asking for donations. And that just absolutely infuriated me. Because, look, okay, granted, I know I don't know how much money he's making, you know, and I'm sure he's not a multimillionaire and stuff like that. But damn it, he gets paid money for doing a column, doesn't he? I mean, so I think I can say with a reasonable amount of certainty that he's not working for free. You know, and that he's not making so little from them that he can't afford to pay his rent and bills. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
And you and I have discussed this before, not necessarily about Mr. Greenwald, but about
other
the left in general. About how, you know, dang it, where's my train of thought? About how, you know, they're asking for donations, and whether or not are we supporting their ability to do stuff, or are we supporting a specific lifestyle?
Are we supporting lobster dinners?
Yeah, exactly. And when I saw that today, just before I went out to look for work, I just blew a fuse. And as much as I respect Glenn Greenwald, I had to let him have it on this. You know, and I'm not going to read the whole letter, but basically, I think he got a lot of nerve asking for donations. You know, when here we are, we're struggling. So,
of course, he doesn't know we exist, Joe. So, you know.
I'm sorry?
I said he doesn't know we exist.
He doesn't know we exist, and of course he doesn't, but maybe he knows now. And he wrote back to me basically saying, well, you know, if people don't think you're worth anything, they won't donate. So I just wrote back to him, and I said, I challenge you to call Bob Kincaid at the show, and you tell him that what he's been doing these last 2 years has been worthless. And we'll see if he takes it. Maybe he will. And I said, you know, if it sounds like, I told him, I said, if it sounds like I'm picking a fight with you, well, maybe I am, if for no other reason than because this information has to get out and we have to stop doing this. We need to really recognize the infrastructure that needs to be built. So I'm trying to do it as much of a respectful way as possible, but it's really difficult for me to do that when, you know, I see these guys who and again, I'm not thinking he's making $1 billion off of this,
Well, look, it's a razor's edge, Joe. I mean, on the one hand, I like his writing. He's a fine writer. He's got great ideas. There's a small handful of people whose writing I really, really respect, and he's one of them. David Sirota is one of them. But it's a fine line. You know, I'd love to have some positive mention from these people because I don't want their money.
Right.
I want to build an audience for the conversation. Okay, right. Whether it's me, you, John, Peter, Guy, Mark, I want to build the conversation.
And you know me, Bob. You know me. I'm a very self-depreciating person. You've heard me talk about my show every time in private. Oh, I thought that last show sucked. That was awful. And you keep telling me otherwise. And sometimes I believe you. Sometimes I don't.
And sometimes you wind up in a corner, huddled up in a fetal position with your thumb in your mouth. It happens to me all the time.
That's pretty much, you know, how I go about job interviews now. That was my last interview, actually. No, I'm just kidding. Huddled in the corner in a fetal position. You're like a lollipop?
Yeah.
You're like a lollipop, Mr. Vecchio?
Yeah, we got a popsicle.
But I just think it's important that maybe it's important to pick a fight. Maybe this sort of... And again, not in a personal animosity towards the way, but maybe just to let everybody know, say, hey, damn it, we're out here, and we've been doing this for 2 damn years. And, you know, we're all struggling, and the world's doing it, and you're having lobster dinners. You know, and I watch Atrios, and I look at him post the pictures of dinners at restaurants that he's having, and you know how I feel about Marcos. What do I keep saying? He pulls in at least $1.5 million a year in ads alone. I don't even know if he asks for donations anymore. I'm sure he gets something. And yet, you know, Yearly Coast, which, granted, he doesn't have anything to do with.
But listen, you bring up something that I had wanted to mention earlier, and this is an excellent opportunity to talk about it. You know, we signed up with an organization called Blog Ads. There at the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com site. You know, John Fox maintains the website for us. And
a great job he does, too.
And a great job. Everybody. John, you know. Our moderators in the chat room, ELO, our news ninjas, Susan and Gene, there's not a soul that's associated with this network that shouldn't be pulling down at least $75,000 a year, period. Okay, that's just how it is. But anyway, don't put my train off on a siding, okay? Because I'm still on the train. I haven't lost it. So we're signed up with Blog Ads, and we've got a listener who's got a blog ad up there of a program that would be literally save you. And you know, this isn't snake oil. This isn't vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls. These are things that really matter, things that really count. A means of where people with mortgages can literally save thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars off of their mortgage. And it's not a con. It's not a gimmick. It's not a scam. It's not a scheme. It's just common sense. And I'm hoping people will click on it and click the ad and find out about it and sign up for it, okay? Because it's good. It is good and good for them. If I had a mortgage, I'd be doing it. Lucky me, I don't. On the other hand, we out of the clear blue sky, we've got an ad from Move On the site now about their new video regarding Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader.
Good for them.
I'm glad
they're participating more along.
Yeah, that dirty freak that needs to be run out of office and run out of town on a rail wearing tar and feathers, as far as I'm concerned. He's an evil old bastard, McConnell is. And we very much need for people, when these ads show up on the website at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, we need people to, and you know, it's something you can do that doesn't cost you any money. Click the damn ad. Go and watch the Move On video. Because when they see the numbers coming back, they'll want to stay involved with us.
Right, exactly.
And that's one of those things...
I've clicked it 5 times since we started talking.
Okay. Good for you. But you see what I'm talking. You understand what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
And you know, frankly, to get noticed by Move On, you know, I'd love that. Because again, that's a way of building audience. And it's audience building. You know, we've got to have a certain amount of money to keep running, Joe. But if we build audience, then we can take the next step. You know, the theme for tonight's prayer meeting edition, I guess, that just sort of roared out of my mouth at the beginning of the program, is climb or die. Climb or die. We cannot go back down the hill. We cannot stand still. We climb or we die. We have got to make, you know, we've got to continue to go forward. We've got to build audience. We've got to offer more and different media. Climb or die. And that's the choice that we're faced with, Joe.
Well, you're absolutely right. That's what I'd say. Can't argue with that. And you know, maybe we can get some awareness through Move On, and maybe I can get Glenn Greenwald and others to realize the value of what we do here, so that maybe they'll put a few ads up. You know, and what do I do on my show? What am I trying to do? Do I ask for donations? I do sometimes, but what I try to do is get people to buy an ad. And is my show worthless that it's not worth a $5 ad? And that, you know, how does that make me feel on a personal level? You know, I've been doing the radio show either pre-recorded by myself or with a partner for about, what, 3 or 4 years now. And I don't think all the work that I've done has been useless. I would have loved to have kept on doing the Cup of Joe report. You know, those things took me about an hour and a half to put together. A lot of people don't realize that it's only a two-minute-long thing. But I had to figure out what I want to talk about, and everything had to be worded precisely so that I can get it in exactly 2 minutes, for a minute and 45 seconds, counting the bump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
So that was a lot of work. And, you know, it would be a little easier for me if I had an environment where I could do it without, stressing out about, oh my God, I gotta go to a job, or I gotta go look for a job. It would just make things a little easier. And none of us are asking to be multimillionaires. We're not looking to make huge profits off it. We just want to be self-sustaining so that we can continue the fight. And that's so that, you know.
And I'll be honest, Joe. I've got a motive that's not ulterior, but a motive beyond all of that. I don't know how to give it any better expression than what I've been saying, but you know, back in the day when I watched television, it was all right wing. Or if I would drive from here to Charleston and turn on the radio, it's all right wing. And frankly, I don't believe that America is that fully fascist. Okay? I believe that there are people out there who want to carry on conversations, who want to talk about our problems, who want to deal with the issues of the day in some other fashion than a bunch of damn sloganeering and jingos and I believe in a culture of life. I believe that people want that conversation. Either I'm right or I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, you know, we'll find out in the long run. But I'm sincerely convinced that I am correct in this assessment. And more than anything else, I want to be part of fostering that dialogue. I want to be part of fostering the discussion. I want to be part of building the community, a community of a hopeful community, not a community that's beaten down and downtrodden and worn out and fatigued with anxiety and anger and hurt and pain, but a community that can sustain itself and give and give uplift to each other. I want that desperately. I want it worse than money. I want it worse than fame. I want to make things better so that when I breathe out and don't breathe in again, I can do so knowing that the time I spent on this little blue-green time machine hurtling through the universe was time that by some objective standard can be said to have been well spent. Sorry, off soapbox now.
No. That's pretty much the way I feel. I mean, I like I said, you know me, I'm very self-appreciating, but there are times when I look at my life and I think, you know, my entire life has been pretty much a waste, you know, and it makes it very, very difficult for me because I think, you know, and speaking on a personal level to be egotistical, I happen to think I do a pretty good job on my show, especially when you consider how little work I have to put into it before the show. I can just go on and talk about a subject for 15, 20 minutes before we go to a break and not sound like I'm a complete and total idiot. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, it's radio, it's easy, but I've seen a lot of people freeze up in front of a microphone. So, and I don't think that the stuff that I do is worthless. And me, you know, obviously I'm not good at marketing and I'm not good at promoting. I'm a good order follower. If someone says, well, you need to do this to do this, you know, or I need you to record this for me, I can go ahead and do it. But like I've been saying, you know, I'm not a Herb Tarlick. Maybe I need to try to become a Herb Tarlick, but that's not where my strengths lie. So, you know, when I, and again, it's just all boiled down to, it's nothing personal against Mr. Greenwald, who I happen to have a lot of respect for. It's just a question of, how can he be asking people for money? How can any of these guys be asking people for money when they're pulling in so much? And even if Greenwald isn't pulling in $1.5 million a year like Marcos is, and it's probably more than that, I'm being very conservative about that. The fact of the matter is that he's doing pretty well, and I'm pretty certain of it. I mean, I'm pretty certain that he's not having to worry about paying his rent and bills. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Of course. There's another line of thinking here, Joe, and that is that not everybody thinks like us. You know, we will freely sit here and say, look, we don't want to be millionaires. We just want to pay the damn bills. There are people who want to be millionaires, Joe.
Well, I don't know if Glenn even wants that. I don't know if Mr. Greenwald even wants that. To be a millionaire. I don't know if he wants to be that at all. But you know, I really think it's disingenuous to sit here and for him to sit there and say, well, if people think what you're doing is worthwhile, they'll donate money. That's not necessarily the case, because you know, the people who listen to my show and the people who listen to any of the shows on the Head-On Network, for the most part, are people like us who are all already on the financial edge. And it's I don't want to say it's wrong for us, but I certainly feel bad asking for donations from people who are very.
Well, first of all, Joe, let me stop you for just a second, okay? I got a lecture on this, and I took it to heart. I don't ever want to hear the word donation come out of your mouth again, okay? I just don't, and I try not to use it either, because donations are something that someone solicits who is just sitting there and not doing anything. Donations are something you get even though you're doing nothing in return. Okay? That is not the case with the Horn. That is not the case with any single program on the Horn. That's not the case with any single host on the Horn. It's not the case with anybody associated with the Horn. We're doing. We're making. We're out there providing something. And I will never again call this a donation. Call it a contribution. Call it support. But you know what? When you say donation, you make it seem as though we're asking people to give money for nothing.
Right. I agree. I understand.
And you know, and like I said, I'm in a quandary. I want desperately to be able to write a check every month to everybody on the network. Right now, the month of September, it's just a fact. We set a goal of $2,000 a month to cover all of our expenses. The month of September, we got a little over $1,000. If we don't make the $2,000 goal for October, then that pretty much means we're done at the end of November.
Right.
We are living from hand to mouth. And it's just that simple.
And it's not like, you know, it's not like you have other sources of income coming in.
No. We took everything we had. Wayne poured thousands of dollars into this operation. Then we got $15,000 to get us started from the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. One time we got that. Never again. That was more than 2 years ago. That money's been long gone. What savings I had and Agnes had has gone into this. We have made paupers of ourselves in order to create this. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in desperate straits. We kind of are too. But I'm not going to sit here and tell people, you know, we need you guys to pony up $5,000. So that we can have a better life. go to the movies once in a while, eat steak instead of beans. I'm not going to do that. Not so long as the other, as everybody else is pouring their heart and their soul into this operation for essentially nothing.
Well, you know, as I've been saying, I can get by my basic expenses right now. I could get by with $1,000 a month. Okay?
Yeah.
That covers my rent, my bills, and just enough for food. Okay? Nothing fancy. I won't even be enough to buy furniture. I'm actually, you know, I don't want to say I'm perfectly content, but you know, I got my air mattress, which is leaking a little bit now, but still, you know, I fill it up every night so that it's fairly sturdy, so it doesn't fall apart until I wake up in the morning. And you know, I don't need to get very much. Although, you know, if I had $500, and you know, if I had all my other bills paid off, if I had $500, there's a place down the street that sells used hotel furniture. And for $500, delivery included, I can have an entire bedroom set delivered. Okay? And it wouldn't be anything fancy, but it would be better than an air mattress. Okay? We're not asking for a lot. You know, a lot of people think it's, you know, and a lot of people on the left in general think it's disingenuous even to touch money. So, except for, of course, for a few people who already have lots of it. You know? How dare you dirty yourself with money? I'll have some more grape poupon mustard. Thank you very much.
Indeed, indeed.
So you know, but you're right. We're not looking for that. We just want to keep fighting the fight. And one of the things that I told Mr. Greenwald, I said, look, the way these fights are going, the way things are going in this country, you know, you and Marcos and Duncan, you guys are going to be the richest people in Gitmo.
Yeah, I noticed that line. I thought that was a nice shot, but yeah.
Well, you know, I guarantee you, the Bush administration is not going to be concerned with you on the left if you have a little bit of money. They'll throw your ass in jail in a heartbeat. The president's already pretty much got the authority to say anybody who he thinks is a terrorist is going to get tossed in jail. He's done that to U.S. citizens as well as non-U.S. citizens. And if we go to war in Iran, God forbid. If there's another terrorist attack in this country that they will undoubtedly allow because it will just further cement their hold on.
Look, not if, when. There will be another. There will be some kind of an attack in this country. Jesus Christ, long before there was Osama bin Laden plotting to fly planes into buildings, and we'll leave the 9/11 debate alone on that, there was Timothy McVeigh.
Mm-hmm.
Right-wing, Christian, extremist, fascist, whatever-ist. Of the right, and that was Oklahoma City.
And we're already...
David Koresh wasn't exactly a wild-eyed liberal.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Sure.
what's his name? Eric Rudolph. Again, there's a terrorist, pure and simple. Right-wing terrorist. The anthrax killer, Joe. How about the anthrax killer?
Well, that's been wonderfully ignored by the people who are mainly threatened by
it. So, you know, it's not if there's another, there will be another. The question is, will it be another terrorist attack perpetrated by radical religionists of a Middle Eastern stripe, or will it be another terrorist attack propagated by radical religionists of the American Christian variety?
And if it gets that bad, do you think they will hesitate for a minute to throw Mr. Marcos and Mr. Atrios, Glenn Greenwald, to throw them all in jail? Would they hesitate for a minute? We've already seen the beginnings of a police state here. Look at what happened to that kid at Florida State.
Yeah, don't tase me, bro.
And what's the name? That Reverend who was just trying to get in to see General Petraeus?
Got his leg broken.
And I saw the video of that. Were there like 9 or 10 cops around this guy?
Oh, yeah.
You think they had enough guys? You know? We're already seeing the beginnings of it. And who is it? There was one guy who was just writing an article about it. Said it's just a matter of time before the next attack comes when they can use this police state that they've been patiently, slowly building up. Because, you know, you can't throw the frog in boiling water.
They don't come overnight. You know, what year did Hitler... Oh, boy. Okay, see, we've violated Godwin's law now. What year did Hitler become Chancellor of Germany?
That was like the 20s, wasn't it?
No, it was 1933. It took him 6 years before there were three years to Kristallnacht, 6 years to Poland. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Now do the math. How long's Bush been in office?
He's been for 7 years now.
Does it tell you anything? The progress, the progress of a police state. Again, it's the you can't throw the frog in the boiling water.
Well, you know they. When you watch the documentaries, and I think people have inured to it by now, you think it's automatically, you know, here's Germany, happy, happy. Oh, here's the Nazis. Like it all happened in one day.
And now the Nazis.
And now the Nazis. Ladies and gentlemen, the Nazis.
Oh, God.
So it didn't happen. Yeah, you're right. It didn't happen overnight. You know, I keep trying to tell people, your money's not going to be worth anything if they get more power. And so if I'm picking, and I apologize personally to Mr. Greenwald if he feels like he's been insulted, but you know something, maybe some of these people need to be insulted to understand what the actual situation is. What we going to be doing, is good. Will that be helping that much? Well, maybe it will and maybe it won't. Okay, I'm not going to say that we're going to be I'm going to be the left wing's answer to Rush Limbaugh, or you're going to be the left wing's answer to Neil Bortz or whatever. But the point is, if you had more information out there, and it was handled by people, and enough people listened to it on a daily, regular basis, there'd be a little bit more dissent in this country. And we may have already passed the point where it's irrelevant anymore, and they're just biding their time. So if Mr. Greenwald feels a little insulted, I'm very sorry, but that's the reality of the situation. And you have to learn to understand that it's not all about, you know, just writing a blog, because blogs are already preaching to the converted anyway, preaching to the choir to begin with.
Yeah. So, well, Joe, I've got a couple of folks lined up behind you, so I'm going to try to catch those phone calls before we hit the top of the hour.
My apologies for rambling.
No, never apologize, and it wasn't rambling. It's a conversation.
Listen, Bob, you take care, and if you do get a phone call from Glenn Greenwald, you let him know I said hi, okay?
I sure will.
Bye-bye, Bob.
Take care, Joe. Our good friend Joe Vecchio. The show's on hiatus right now, but it will return as we revamp the schedule, probably as a late-night program, which I think you guys might actually enjoy more. Anyway, okay, here's the magic of not having anyone answering the phone. Let's find out if there's anybody here. Hey, who have I got?
Hey, Bob, it's Steady.
Hey, Steady, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Just working into the third week and got off work a little early out here in Christmas Valley, Oregon, and I was listening for a while there to your conversation with Joe, and you do facilitate the conversation and have, and if the contributions can be recognized that they're needed for your hard work, by all means, anybody could send that in. I, unfortunately, at this point, have got a job out here, but I can't contribute at the moment. But I can talk it up, and that's what
you're doing. And you know, we don't want anybody to hurt themselves or to put themselves in any sort of a precarious position. But for those who can't, talk us up. Do what you're doing, Steady. You know, tell people what's going on here. Tell them what we're trying to do.
I'm getting in a position where I'm actually going to have, you know, be able to do that. I put myself out in town every day, and I got a job out here. And just on a positive note and a kind of a fun thing, Christmas Valley Golf Club first annual tournament, we shot low round, and it came out in the paper. So I got my picture in the paper for winning the golf tournament with the guy Garrett Braun and another guy named Guy.
Was it a scramble or best ball or what?
Yes, it was a four-man scramble, and Garrett Braun had played on the Nationwide Tour and the Hooters Tour, so it was really, we had the advantage. So the group that came in one shot behind us must have played some phenomenal golf. Our final was a 63.
Sweet.
Yeah. 10 birdies, 1 bogey, no mulligans. You could buy mulligans, but we didn't buy any.
Well, cool. Congratulations.
So, yeah, and I'm attending the Parks and Recs meeting out here, which is essentially the city council, and we're doing small things at the airport and little businesses around town. You know, I just started pulling weeds and gathering materials to build the ag house or ranch house, if you will, or in an agricultural zone. And this is considered frontier, not rural residential. It's considered the frontier we're out here. And I'm keeping in touch through the phone. I don't have my internet connection, and it actually looks farther away than I thought before. But Bob, bless you for all you're doing, and Agnes, and all the hosts, all of them. And I don't think any of you want to be millionaires. I think you all want to just keep contributing and facilitating the conversation. And I am truly thankful for everyone who helps in various ways.
Steady, you've got an awesome, awesome spirit, and we do sincerely appreciate it.
I appreciate you and Agnes and everyone else, Bob. Hello to everybody, and bless you. Have a great afternoon, evening.
All right, thanks, Steady. You take care. Work safe. Bye now.
I will. Bye-bye.
Our good friend Steady, Michael Stettler, out in Christmas Valley, Oregon. Just a heck of a guy. A heck of a guy. Okay, and we'll try one more. And hey, you know, third time's a charm. We've actually had calls. You know, it wasn't the beep 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 thing. So you know, you never know. Hey, who have I got? Ah, see, dadgummit. I do. It just drives me crazy. But you know, it's what we've got. It's what we've got to do now that this is a one man operation. So you know, what are you going to do? Cry? Climb or die? Climb. Or die. So, you know, that's where that is. In all seriousness, though, what I mentioned with Joe, I'm not one for, you know, giving marching orders or begging or asking you to do anything, but it would be sincerely helpful if you would go to the network website, headonradionetwork.com, and click and have a look at the couple of blog ads that are there. The Move On ad, go watch the video. I mean, educate yourself a little bit about what a dirty sleaze bucket Mitch McConnell is. It costs you nothing to do. But when they look at their web traffic and they see that a few thousand people, a few tens of thousands of people, viewed their ad from our website, they'll realize that we are a force to be reckoned with. And it costs you nothing to do it. And you will be helping us in a material way that is quite surprising and can be quite quite energizing. Because the way blog ads work, it's kind of complicated even for me. But, you know, there are statistics. And when they see that their ads are effective and that their ads are viewed on our site, then that means we get more ads, which means we get paid, which is a good thing. Our ads are cheap right now. They're dirt cheap. And as a function of that, we're hoping to generate some buzz. So, you know, to the extent that I can, you know, ask you to do something, I'm asking you to go click on the save money on your mortgage ad, and I'm asking you to go click on the Move On ad. Please. Okay? Because it is it's a big boon for us. And it's a big help. Now, we've had some mention of the S-chip thing, and I don't know how much more can be said about it. I've told you this issue is almost too visceral for me to be able to comment on, because it speaks directly to my little family, to my kids, Agnes's kids, our little family, and George Bush today made a determination that my children, my God, when the light goes on for you and you realize what he said with his actions, never mind the pronouncements from Dana Perineal. I call her Perineal because she taint Tony Snow and she taint Ari Fleischer and she taint Scott McClellan. She's Dana Perineal. She's taint. rednecks and hillbillies and such will understand the meaning of that phrase, and many others maybe as well. But when I, never mind what she said. With his actions, George W. Bush said that he thinks that my children have no value, have no human worth. George W. Bush, by his actions today, said that my children are just as well dead. Now, maybe I'm over-personalizing it, because make no mistake, it wasn't just my children that he thinks are just as well dead. Every poor child in America is just as well dead to George Bush. And not just poor kids, middle-class kids, because, see, that was the crux of the matter. This was going to extend the coverage up to a family of four making $80,000 a year. $80,000 is not that much money. It's a hell of a lot more than I got, but, you know, I've lived large in my past life. It still doesn't go that far, especially, you know, when the taxes and so forth and Social Security and the payroll tax and yada, yada, yada. 80 grand doesn't go that far. You're not out living the high life on 80 grand. You're still paying your bills. And by the time you factor in things like homeowner's insurance and auto insurance and the car payment and the mortgage payment and groceries and what happens when you need the new set of tires or what happens when the refrigerator finally gives up the ghost or the freezer or what happens when you find out you need a new roof or the heat pump goes out, it's not that much money. And it's still, and you still have to have tough conversations, even at 80 grand a year. Tough conversations about what gets paid and what doesn't, and what comes first and what comes next, and what doesn't get done at all. George W. Bush said today that every child of every family making $80,000 or less can just go to hell. And that makes words... That makes the words just freeze in my throat. I can't tell you what... I can tell you what I would do if somebody was standing and looking me in the eye and telling me that my children can just as well go to hell for all he cares. I can tell you, and I don't have to tell you. You know what would happen in that instance. Not because you know me to be a brawler or violent. You know me to be exactly the opposite. But you know what you yourself would do. Answer that question. Tell me. Call me. I want to know. I want to hear it out of your mouth. If somebody looked you in the eye and said, your children can just as well die for all I care. Your children don't need medical care when they're sick. Your children don't deserve medical care when they're sick. Your children can drop dead. For all I care, what would you do? How would you feel? What would you say to the sleazy son of a bitch, the rotten rat-ass bastard who said something as awful as that to you about your children? What would you do? Newsflash. He said it today to you. He said it to me. He said it to us. He said it to the entire nation. What will you do? And yet, there are Republicans in the House of Representatives. Children don't need that health care. We need to send more money to Iraq. What would you do? How am I supposed to feel? I look at the glow of life in my children's eyes, and I see the warmth of pride they take when they learn something new and they master something. I see the excitement in my eighth grader's eyes when the light goes on about the Y equals MX plus B and the line slope formula. I see all of that. And I know that sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., there is a heartless, rotten, stinking, filthy, pathetic, excrescent excuse for a member of the human race who thinks that those little miracles that happen every day for my children don't matter worth a damn. I am battling with the very depths of my existence not to haul out the F-bomb. With a red-hot poker, George Bush, with a red-hot poker, a white-hot poker, a blistering hot poker, George Bush, for what you think of my children, for what you think of the children of this entire country. But you're pro-life, and you want to work for the snowflake babies. Screw you, George! Screw you to pieces! And your little wife, too. Screw you! Sorry, a little over the top, maybe. Let's, let me calm down for a minute, please. That's a good idea. We will, take a break. We'll take a break. We'll do the news, and we'll come back. I sincerely want to hear your thoughts on it. Because it makes me so mad that I think I've got broken blood vessels in my eyes right now. This is America's liberal voice. This is a voice of a parent. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is The Horn.
Yo, yes, oh yes, tell a madre de que me pongan sombrero. Escucha entonces cuando digo, no me llames frijolero. Y aunque exista algún respeto, no metamos las narices. No que inflamos la moneda, haciendo guerra a otros países. Te pagamos con petróleo, intereses nuestra deuda.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush today vetoed a bill which would provide health insurance to more than 10 million children, up from the current 6.6 million. He said it moves the country's health care system in the wrong direction. Congress may pass legislation that closes a loophole that allows private security contractors in Iraq immunity from criminal prosecution. The private security forces, such as Blackwater, protect State Department personnel in Iraq. Bombs targeted the convoy of the Polish ambassador to Iraq today, wounding him. The attack took place in central Baghdad and is being called an assassination attempt. Poland has about 1,000 troops in Iraq. Sudanese forces blocked former President Jimmy Carter from visiting a Darfur refugee camp. The 83-year-old got into a shouting match with troops, insisting they had no power to stop him. His Secret Service detail convinced him to leave. Carter said his goal is free and fair elections in the country in 2009. According to a joint six-nation statement, North Korea has agreed to dismantle all of its nuclear facilities by the end of this year. In return, the communist government will receive fuel oil or economic aid. In Myanmar, a UN worker and three of her family members were taken into custody during overnight government raids on dozens of homes. Troops dragged people from their beds in yet another phase of the crackdown against a massive pro-democracy movement in that country. The Associated Press reports that next week the U.S. government will conduct the largest terrorism exercise in its history. It will consist of three imaginary dirty bombs going off in two major U.S. cities and Guam. Investigators will try to determine how five workers were killed in an accident yesterday at a Georgetown, Colorado hydroelectric plant. They initially survived a chemical fire but died before rescuers could reach them 1,000 feet below ground.
In South Africa, Harmony Gold says 3,200 of its miners are trapped underground. A spokesperson for the company says an electrical cable on an elevator broke. Harmony is the world's fifth largest producer of gold. Testifying before a congressional panel, family members of those killed in the Crandall Canyon mine cave-in testified. Their loved ones voiced numerous safety concerns about that mine. Yesterday, a federal coal mine safety administrator said inspectors knew there were problems. This is QNN.
Living our lives in a civil fashion is a declaration of intent. It says we are ready to put our better selves forward for the well-being of the community. It's like romance. When you fall in love, you are on your best behavior. The delight in making a loving connection with someone brings out the best in us, naturally. It is natural to acknowledge our fellow human beings with a nod of the head or a smile, to show them the respect we would want them to show us. The more we are civil with strangers and with those who already know us, the healthier a spirit we create for ourselves, for each other, and the surrounding community. George Washington, the founder of a great nation, declared, "Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present." Civility is essential to community health. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
A survey by the National Sleep Foundation finds that about 23% of American couples sleep apart. They say it's because of a partner snoring or other disruptions. A Canadian study finds 34% of couples sleep in separate beds. Government data shows that in August, nearly 30% of flights were delayed. It's the worst August on-time report in the 13 years of record-keeping. There was also an increase in customer complaints about the airlines. A trade group reports that the U.S. service economy grew at a slower pace in September than in August. The U.S. Postal Inspection Service announced that there have been 77 arrests recently as part of an international crackdown on email scams involving phony lottery wins or inheritances. Arrests were made in the Netherlands, Nigeria, and Canada. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan now says because of the credit crisis and problems with the subprime mortgage sector, he expects there will be a slowdown of U.S. economic growth. He said the odds of a recession in the U.S. are between a third and a half. Gold is trading at $735.70 an ounce. Light sweet crude is at $79.94 a barrel. The Dow closed down 80 points at 13,967. The Nasdaq was also down 18 points at 2729. The S&P was down 7. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Okay. Agnes heard me yelling my fool head off and came in just to make sure that, you know, I hadn't burst a blood vessel in my eye. Sort of patted me on my pointy little head and said, "There, there, dear, there, there. I love you. You love our kids. I love our kids. George Bush can go to hell. There, there, dear, there, there." Thank you, Agnes. Thank you. Okay, so we'll go straight to the phones. Mike is calling from Woodstock, New York, and I haven't heard from Mike in a while. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well. Recently discovered the joys of walking long distances and hitchhiking as my grease car had to go into the shop for an operation.
How is the grease car?
I think it's going to be okay. It had a very rare problem, which was a fuel pump. In a normal car, would be fine, but it happens to be a 1986 BMW diesel. So finding that part took a long time. The BMW dealer wanted $2,000 for the part. I paid $8,000 for the car. So I finally found a users group on Yahoo or whatever, and I found the part. So it's being put in. I might get it back tomorrow. In the meantime, I've been hitchhiking and walking long distances. It's been actually very interesting.
Any revelations? Any, samsara?
Well, I mean, this is the way most people in the world get around, you know, is by foot or bum a ride somehow. And I think I was just feeling kind of a brotherhood with people who who don't have the money to have a car. I think that's kind of what America's going to look like in a few years, honestly. I don't think there's anything anybody can do anymore to stop the inevitable collapse of United States civilization. I think it's been predicted by some wise people over the years, including the Mayans, that around 2012, things were going to kind of fall apart and a new age was going to begin, but there was going to be incredible destruction before that happened.
I fear you're right. And, you know, just in very simple terms, you said something that might slide by some people, but didn't me and most of our audience probably not. One's feet are still the means by which most people on this planet still get around. And I don't think we think about that. I live a mile from an old U.S. highway that's two lanes, and it's constant. Even here in rural West Virginia, Mike, it's and you can hear the trucks changing gears up the road at night. The automobile and fossil fueled transportation is so ubiquitous in this country, we don't think about the fact that most people still get around on their feet.
That's right. And
and obviously you live to tell the tale.
I did. I enjoyed it. If I get my car back, it'll be nice, but if I don't, I'll just deal with it and get around the way I need to do.
Did you talk to folks while you were out on the road?
I did. I met some great people. One of the journeys was about 44 miles. And I was really on a long walking stretch, and this very old black guy picked me up, and he was real cool. He was a singer in a gospel choir. I play bass, actually, in a kind of more of a new age kind of a church, not the kind of Christian church you might be thinking of.
No, I understand.
but I play bass there, so we were just talking about playing music for spiritual purposes. And actually, that's what music was originally meant for. It was a you know, in the Sufi tradition, they only worship through music and art. And this is something I think a lot of people have lost contact with, which is that music is spiritual. It is religion. Religion being the word meaning to become in contact with yourself and nothing else. And I think we as a people are so far removed from ourselves, from our inner spirit. And this is part of the problem and part of the reason why everyone's so lazy. Nobody wants to change anything. We're just totally disconnected from everything. From the war, I just watched the war documentary and saw how involved Americans were in that. It was incredible.
From Victory Gardens to steel drives, aluminum drives, tin drives. My mother, bless her soul, had told me about the blackout drills that they had in the high school in 1943 in Anstead, West Virginia, and huge blackout curtains, lest lest the Japanese or the Germans be able to navigate by landmark during the night. Right. Every single human being in this country was in some way or another actively involved in advancing the cause. I think one of the reasons that we can't be called upon to do this now is that even the Bush administration itself knows that they're involved in a fraud. And if they were to ask people to come together with something like that, they know that the rubber mask would come off.
Yeah, well, apparently there's enough professional mercenaries in Iraq to just continue anyway. There's 180,000 mercenaries. They outnumber U.S. soldiers. And even if the war ends, do they come back? I mean, what happens? I guess the last thing was I caught a conversation about clicking on links.
Mm-hmm.
What website were you referring to?
Well, the network website, headonradionetwork.com.
Okay, because the website I'm looking at is the link from... Okay, I'm looking at headonradio.com.
Okay, you got to add network to it. That's my old website from... even before we got the network started.
All right, I'm going to go check that out.
And the move on there. The move on video is quite good anyway. I mean, the one way or the other. But Mitch McConnell's got to go, and they make a strong case for that fact, and I agree with them. And
okay,
so
if
folks, you know, if they see the traffic coming from us, it'll mean something to them.
Yeah, I'm actually, I have a travel business that I've had for like 15 years, and I'm actually redesigning my whole business structure to actually rely on advertising rather than revenue from selling anything. And I think the more content that you add to your site, the more traffic you generate, and the more income you could generate for Head On Radio Network. And also, do you ask for donations anywhere on the site?
There's a PayPal button at the top of the site.
There is.
Where folks can contribute whatever they want, or they can sign up for subscriptions at the, I think, $10, $25, $50, and $100 a month levels.
Okay, I see that. That's good.
And you know, we and you're absolutely right, Mike, because what we're one of the things we're going to be there is a lot of trepidation among the hosts on the horn about this, but what you talk about adding content, you know, we will eventually take this video.
Mm-hmm.
And I am filled with horror and self-loathing at the very prospect, but it's somewhere it has to go, and I think that'll help build our outreach as well.
That sounds really good. I hate to see this not survive. It's a great alternative. I listen to a lot of different progressive radio, but I always tune you guys in at certain times when I'm, especially when I'm up in the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're not saying that we're going to turn out the lights or anything, but we're literally living month to month.
Sure.
And for somebody like me. It's a little bit spooky just because you don't know from one month to the next whether or not you'll keep going.
Do you have somebody who's handling your SEO, search engine optimization?
John Fox runs everything on the website, and he does some SEO and has tried to maximize that as much as possible. But frankly, that's a technical level that is beyond my ken.
It's something that I've looked into quite a bit. But for example, when somebody types in progressive radio online,
mm-hmm.
You know, it would be nice if you came up in the top 10. And
it would be very nice.
And at this point, you don't. So there's a variety of ways to do this. If you ever, you know, maybe I should contact John Fox directly. I could guide him towards ways that could get more traffic to your site. You could put more advertising on your site and generate more income based on your traffic levels. I have a site that gets about 40,000 unique visitors a month, and I plan to ramp that up to about 200,000 a month.
Wow.
That's going to be through adding content. It's a travel site. It's an alternative travel site, but it's going to be really information-based.
Well, I know John has been up to his eyeballs lately, Mike, simply because we have been subjected to an absolutely stunning level of spam attacks on our blog, and you know,
yeah,
highly frustrating. He had to clean it all out, and then had to.
listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
Okay, I put on the new agey music because I needed to go to my happy place. Oh. I remember way back when I was a master's degree student in theater. And we had this relaxation exercises after our little, like, theater aerobics class. And our teacher would say something like, letting go now, letting go now, letting everything go. Letting go now. Yeah, so apparently I got hold of the great folks at CityNet, and they had, you know, all the bells and whistles and alarms had gone off at their place because they had about 15 different DS1 lines just went. We were one of them. So that wasn't, you know, I don't think there was anything particularly evil. It was just one of the things that happens in the world of high tech. Hey, look, you know, we broadcast, we dance on the cutting edge of technology, and sometimes our little heels get slashed. And that's what happened just now. But that's okay. We'll be all right. Letting go now. Letting go now. Ah. Yeah, and I roll my head around, and my neck goes. Oh, brother. But everything's okay, and well, you know, like I said, well, we've got a little bit of show left, precisely 18 minutes of show left. If you want to chime in and share your thoughts, you're more than welcome. I see a phone ringing now. Well, not ringing, beeping, not bleep, not, no, it's blinking. That's what it's doing. It's blinking. Hey, who have I got?
You've got Richard again.
Oh, be joyful.
Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine. You're a little hot.
Yeah, well, I went to the hot phone. I think that I've got some sort of a mismatch between me and you. I'll work on it with Peter.
Okay.
It's something strange. I think it's some sort of interaction between my DSL, actually, and your setup. But okay, I'm here. It's nice to have you back, and I'm really happy that Agnes is okay.
Believe me, we are too.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
I was very concerned about you guys because it sounded like Agent Fred had suddenly taken over, you know.
Well, you can't help but be a little bit paranoid, or at least I can't, especially with what was happening to Peter's show, because everything seemed to be so regular that things would happen to Peter's show that wouldn't happen to anybody else. So,
oh, know. I'd say I didn't even know about that.
Yeah. Now, as far as
that, you know, I usually listen on off White Rose.
Right.
And White Rose was down.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ben's had some illness issues in his own family. His wife has been quite ill, and you know, it was just sort of a perfect storm, I guess, Richard.
Yeah. Exactly. So I want to volunteer if. You know, if something like this happens and I can help get the word out, I would like to.
Okay.
You know, like, for instance, to put a notice on your website.
Well, notices do go up on the website when things go down. The News Ninjas are very, very good about putting those things up on our blog.
Oh, really? I didn't see them this time, but anyway, I'm just throwing my hat in the ring.
Sure, absolutely. It's a volunteer effort across the board.
Sure, sure. So I, a few days later, I finally found out, you know, it wasn't Agent Fred. It wasn't Gonzo with his new job.
No. It was, well, I was gone for the 4 days out of five dealing with, you know, family stuff relating to my father's estate.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And then I got back home. Then Agnes had surgery, a trip to Morgantown. But that's one of the reasons why when I came stumbling in from my doctor's appointment this afternoon, I thought, you know, I can't not go tonight. I gotta get behind the microphone. I gotta get a 5-day weekend because I'm losing my freaking mind.
Well, face it, you're a performer, Bob.
Yeah, a little bit of that, but okay, a lot of that.
Yeah, really. I mean, I don't know. I mean, being a musician, it I have to be creative at something. And I got an interesting story. I decided that I wanted to break into working in energy conservation or green energy or transportation in a green sort of way. So a job came up. I work as a technical writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very hip to railroad technology of all kinds. So that's, I actually, through a writing agency, got myself an interview with a major transit system here in the Bay Area. And I got all excited about that as an entry point into the entire industry, so that I would specialize as a railroad technical writer. Because I have, you know, one way or the other, I'm positive we're going to be on the rails somehow. And it's going to be forced on us. That is my...
Well, you know, the problem with the idea that it's going to be forced on us is that somewhere along the way, there's got to be a will to it. You know, I had my big railroad trip back in June.
Yeah,
and I realized, you know, what a wonderful thing it could be if only anybody in America gave a damn about it.
Well, there are people who give a damn.
Well, I know they do, but they're not the right people. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Well, a lot of them are actually. You know, there's this organization called National Association of Railroad Passengers. They have a presence in Washington D.C. A little bit of lobbying, just a tiny bit. They have people all over the country, and they've had an impact in certain places. I think they've had an impact in California. We have a certain amount of regional rail here, and the schedules are pretty good. I'm quite impressed. But the state has also put money behind it.
Right, and that's what I mean about there having to be a will behind it. You know, as and I think I remarked before, Richard, as I crossed the country, I saw all these abandoned railroad right-of-ways beside the line that we were on.
Yeah, isn't that something?
And yet we would have to pull over to a siding because apparently the nature of the agreement that Amtrak has is that they have right-of-way as long as they're on schedule. The minute they go so much as a second behind schedule, all bets are off.
Well, there's actually an old railroad saying about that. Which goes, late trains become later.
Yes.
And it's true. And also, of course, there's the terrible problem that Amtrak is a tenant on all these freight railroads.
Right. They don't, well, the Northeast Corridor, they own their own rails.
That's right. Northeast Corridor, most of their own rails. I think between New York City and Stamford, Connecticut, I believe they're a tenant. But they're a tenant on a public agency,
right? But you know, whether it's the Empire Builder or the Southwest Chief or the Sunset Limited or the Southern Crescent or the City of New Orleans or the Cardinal, that's all tenant rail. And the thing is, those are freight rail, and you're probably far more able to discuss it than I am, Richard. But freight rail is not the same as passenger rail.
Well, at one time it was, you know.
Well, I mean, it is by default now, but there are different engineering and design standards for them, aren't there?
Well, yes and no. You know, I mean, we've got Spanish trains running in the Pacific Northwest right now, run by Amtrak. They're a design that, that dates from approximately 1945. The trains are called TALGO, which is an acronym, and these trains are designed to run at fairly decent speed on pretty mediocre track. So there are some engineering concepts that can produce a balance between the two. And actually, when I was a kid, there were three first class passenger trains on the lines right near you that ran at least between Washington, D.C. and Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
with a lot of spurs off to the side. So cars came up from Newport News and joined the main stem at Charlottesville, Virginia, and then they split as they went west. So let me think. I think they split at Ashland, Kentucky. So one section went to, I'm forgetting. What's the place with all the racehorses? Louisville.
Louisville, yeah, sure.
Okay, one section went to Louisville, one section went to Chicago, one section went to Detroit. This is a trains that got split up and combined quite a bit during their route. And they pulled it off every day, you know.
Yeah, and mostly on time. And no, it's all doable. And, you know, I looked at those great big honking diesel engines that were pulling the Amtrak train that I was on, and, you know, that cloying, overpowering scent of diesel fuel that you breathe when you're there in the station. And all I could think was, wow, what if these things were running on French fry oil?
Well, my problem with that, and now I happen to be just a few miles away from a filling station that does that. You know, that fills up diesel cars with biodiesel, and the problem there is that at some point you run out of the biodiesel. You know, Amtrak, believe it or not, has been somewhat pollution minded. The railroad locomotive manufacturers have paid some attention to this, but diesel railroads burn a really foul grade of fuel oil.
Oh yeah, it's like the vile stuff that gets burned in vehicles that are supposedly limited to mining operations here in West Virginia.
Yeah, that might be true.
It's literally the high sulfur stuff.
Yeah, they burn what's called, I think it's called number 6 bunker oil. It's like the sludge that's left over in the hold, you know, in the bottom of the tanker, and they have to heat it in order to get it into the fuel injector nozzles. So that it'll flow. There's nothing new about this. I suspect it's the most polluting stuff in the world.
No, well, you know, I mean, when we pulled into the station and I got off the car and started walking toward it, it was overpowering. I mean, I was nauseated by the time I got in.
Oh yeah, and it's what they're doing is there's two engines in that locomotive. There's two diesel engines. One is pulling the train. The other one is providing what is called hotel power, meaning the lights, water, you know, hot water, and heat and air conditioning. So all of that stuff is now electric. It used to be provided in different ways.
Right.
But you know, I think that we're down to the point where there are only four through railroads running east and west in this whole country.
CSX, Burlington Northern,
right?
Union Pacific,
correct.
And Southern, or was Southern absorbed into CSX?
No, Southern was absorbed into
Norfolk Southern.
Yeah, right. That's it. Now we got Canadian National going north south on the old Illinois Central through Illinois. Down to New Orleans and Kansas City Southern, which is smaller, and you know a few smaller things. But this is really scary. Union Pacific is very Bushian in its campaign funding.
Well, you know, Mike from Woodstock, what he said a few minutes, a little over an hour ago now, or a little less than an hour ago, is that you know he sees grim, kind of a grim future.
For what?
For transportation and the American transportation lifestyle.
Well,
and
I think it's where I'm coming from is I think it's a really exciting opportunity.
Well, it is. It is. I mean, I wrote this long letter to my congressman about it, and you know, I'm behind rail. I believe in Amtrak. My goodness, can you just looking at the places that Amtrak doesn't go, Richard?
Oh yeah, so it's awesome, isn't it?
I mean, can you imagine that Amtrak does not go through Nashville, Tennessee?
I know that. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
You know, the old L&N passenger service, the Louisville and Nashville, don't exist.
But there's a track there?
I think that something probably owns what was the L&N, because yeah, there's
CSX. Amtrak originally did have a train that went from Chicago to Miami, And for some reason, they pulled it. And I'm assuming they didn't have enough business. But there's politics involved, too, and this gets awfully messy.
Well, and there's also two or three generations of Americans, Richard, for whom rail travel isn't even a thought,
yeah.
even in places where the train goes.
Yeah, it's true. It isn't a thought until suddenly there's a snowstorm, there's a blizzard, and the train is the only thing moving.
Yeah. Well, Richard, I've got to roll along because we're at the end of the show, unfortunately. I'm sorry about all the technical glitches, but this one at least wasn't demonic.
Okay. Good to chat with you, Bob.
Good to talk to you, Richard. Take care. We'll talk again soon.
Right.
Bye now. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for putting up with me being late. Thanks for putting up with the technical glitch there in the middle of this hour. Bunch of stories I still didn't get to, but you know, dadgummit, that's what tomorrow's for. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps each day in its petty pace. Yada 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 yada. Thanks, Bill Shakespeare. And in case you're wondering, I'm still disgusted when I mean just the very thought of that little bastard vetoing the S-chip bill. I mean, there was a time in stop it. Show's over. Again, thanks for joining in. Thanks for participating. Listen, you know, you guys that listen on podcasts or listen to the archives or whatever, love to hear from you. Just because you can't call the show when it's live doesn't mean you can't email. Love to hear from you. And a reminder, we're at about $250. We're 1/8 of the way to where we need to be by the end of October. If you're able, please don't make me sweat this. I'd really appreciate that. And me, the rest of the network, you know, me and that mouse in my pocket, you know, if you can help, I appreciate it. And those of you who already have, you know how much we love you. Thanks, many thanks to John Fox, to Ben Birch, and to Peter Godbold, our IT consultant. And, of course, always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. Panic has set in Myanmar, where military vehicles are patrolling the streets with loudspeakers blaring, quote, "We have photographs. We are going to make arrests," end quote. At 3 a.m., troops stormed houses dragging men and women from their beds. Fleeing monks are being denied bus rides. Drivers fear they'll be barred from buying diesel. A U.N. envoy is drafting a report. The leader of the Liberty City 7, on trial in Miami for allegedly scheming to topple the U.S. government, was seen on video today saying to an FBI informant that he is planning, quote, "to build an Islamic army for Islamic Jihad," end quote. The group is accused of plotting to blow up the Sears Tower and bomb 5 FBI offices. The Polish ambassador to Iraq was wounded in an assassination attempt in Baghdad today. A roadside bomb targeting his convoy destroyed 3 cars, killed one of the ambassador's bodyguards and a civilian bystander. 14 people were wounded. Congress may pass legislation to close a loophole which allows private security contractors in Iraq immunity from criminal prosecution. One contractor, Blackwater, was questioned this week because of a controversial street battle that broke out while protecting a U.S. State Department convoy last week. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will travel to the Middle East again next week ahead of the U.S.-hosted peace conference in November. She'll go to Israel, the Palestinian Authority, and possibly neighboring Arab countries. Sudanese forces blocked former President Jimmy Carter from visiting a Darfur refugee camp. He got into a shouting match with troops and insisted, quote, "You don't have the power to stop me," end quote. According to a joint six-nation statement, North Korea has agreed to dismantle all of its nuclear facilities by the end of this year. In return, the communist government will receive 950,000 metric tons of fuel oil or economic aid. The AP reports that next week the U.S. government will conduct the largest terrorism exercise in its history.